Good morning. How are we doing? Good. Good. Well, I am, I'm honored to be here this morning. I thank Pastor Robbie and Long Hollow for allowing me to bring the word today. I love this church. I love being here, and I've enjoyed it, watching my family grow up here. And so this is just an honor to be here. This morning, we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare and the armor of God. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to tell them everything you know about the armor of God or spiritual warfare. Ready, go. Wait a minute. Why are we laughing? Why are we laughing? So wait a second. So for some of us, that was a very awkward conversation, all right? Some of us, and if we're just honest, we don't know a whole lot about spiritual warfare or the armor of God, and that's awesome. I'm glad you're here. And hopefully today you're gonna walk out with some new knowledge. Some of us, we think we know a lot about spiritual warfare, but really we don't. And then there's some in this room who are seasoned warriors who have been fighting the good fight. And so this morning, no matter where you're at in this journey, we're gonna move together, and hopefully you're gonna walk out with some knowledge. If you're like me and you grew up in the 70s and 80s and 90s, your knowledge of spiritual warfare might have come from a movie called The Exorcist. And so that's definitely one where it wasn't very helpful at all. And if you were born in the 70s or in the 80s, you would know the Christian heavy metal rock band Stryper. And their album To Hell with the Devil, that was of no help either in spiritual warfare. If you were in the 90s and you read the series by Frank Peretti, it was the darkness series called This Present Darkness or Piercing the Darkness. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, these were fiction books, but for the first time in my life, when I read This Present Darkness, I started to think about the spiritual realm. I started to think about spiritual battles. And so it got my mind thinking and rolling with that. Then later on, when I was in New Orleans with a group of buddies from college, and before you start to judge me, I was there looking at a seminary. I was not going and partying and stuff like that. But we went and we checked out New Orleans Seminary. And then after we went on our tour, we left and we went down to the French Quarter, and there was this voodoo shop. And I walked into this voodoo shop, and at the front of the voodoo shop, there was love potions and there was toy voodoo dolls. But the further back I got into this store, I just remember going, this doesn't feel right. And there was this heaviness, in my mind, I started processing and I started thinking, there's an evilness that in this place. And the further back I got, it just kept getting darker and darker. And I remember I turned around and I looked at my buddies and I go, I've got to get out of here. And as I stepped outside of the room, as I stepped outside of that store, all of a sudden that weight lifted. And it was just this reality of that evil is real and spiritual warfare is real. And so this morning, we're going to dig into it. I'm going to be honest with you. We're just going to scratch the surface. There are volumes of books that are written on the passage that we're going to talk about. And so we're not going to cover everything. But today, my desire is to help equip you. My desire is to help you understand just a little bit better. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. When you get there, say word. Awesome. If you do not have your Bible, the passages will be up on the screen. Here's the one thing I want you to walk out with today. As before we read this passage, I want you to understand how to stand in his strength and his armor. I want you to understand how to stand in his strength and his armor. Starting in verse 10, finally, be strengthened by the Lord in his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having prepared everything to take your stand, stand therefore with the truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. So this morning, before we get into the armor, I want to talk about some mistakes that we make when it comes to spiritual warfare and when it comes to the armor of God. The first is this, is I think some of us in this room, we give the devil way too much credit. We give him way too much credit, and here's why. I think there's times in my life where I've sinned and I didn't need any help from him. I think there's times in my life where I have blamed him, and he goes, Shane, that was all you. And so I've walked myself into bad situations, or I've put myself in places where I had no business being, and I gave into sin. I think another way in which we give him more credit than he deserves is there are times that God allows things in our life and he's trying to teach us something, or he's trying to prune us of things in our life, and we blame the devil. We go, oh man, he's doing this, and God's going, no, I'm doing this to grow you up. I'm doing this to teach you something. I'm doing this to remove some things for your life. And so that's the first situation. The second situation is on the opposite end of the spectrum, is we don't give him enough credit. You see, there's some of us in this room here today that we would say very easily, I don't believe the devil. I believe he was made up by people to help kids act right. And so we don't give him enough credit, and we treat him as this little cartoon character that he just tries to tempt us, and he just tries to throw us off our game. But when we read in 1 Peter 5:8, we read this: be sober-minded, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. I need you to understand this morning that the devil is real and he wants to destroy you. He has already lost the war. And so he's doing everything he can to take anyone and everyone with him. And he doesn't want to just scratch you. He just doesn't want to maim you a little bit. He wants to devour you. Another thing we have to understand about the devil is he is far more powerful than we are. Now, the great thing is this, is he is not more powerful than our God. He doesn't hold a candle to him. But when it comes to us, when it comes to individuals trying to take him on, we cannot even stand against him. And so we have to understand, we have to take him seriously. And so I'm not sure where you're at on that line. I'm not sure if you just go, man, I blame him for everything, or man, I'm not even sure if he's real. But this morning, we need to come a little bit towards the middle. We need to start giving him more credit, but we need to also understand that he's not in control of everything. So that's our first mistake. I think our second mistake is we don't do what we're told. We don't do what we're told. I've never been in the military. I love and respect our military, but I understand just a little bit about the military, and that when we're in battle, there's a chain of command. And when your commanding officer tells you to do something, you do it then. Now, here's the thing. We are told very clearly here in these verses that he tells us two things to do right off at the very beginning. It says, finally, be strengthened by the Lord, and in his vast strength, put on the full armor of God. Very clearly, he says, be strengthened by the Lord, and in his vast strength, and put on the armor of God. And yet, every morning, many of us in this room, we will wake up, and we will face battle. We will go into spiritual battle in our own strength and without his armor. And so we wonder why we keep getting defeated. We wonder why we show up at church on Sundays so exhausted, because we have fought this battle in our own strength and without his armor. And so that's the first thing he tells us to do. He tells us those two things right off the bat. But there's another thing that we do when it comes to spiritual warfare. And we think our job is to fight in this battle. For some reason, we somewhere along the line, we think we're supposed to fight in this battle. But look at what he says four times in these verses. Listen to this. And starting in verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you may stand. Circle the word stand or underline it. Against the schemes of the devil. Verse 13, for this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist. Circle the word resist. Resist in other versions, it says to withstand in the evil day. And having prepared everything to take your stand, circle stand again. Verse 14, stand therefore with truth like a belt around your waist. Four different times he tells us to stand. That word stand is a military term. It's a term that here's what it means, to hold your ground, to not give an inch, to not give the devil any room in your lives. I don't know about you, but that's pretty freeing. It's pretty freeing to understand that my job is not to beat the devil. My job is not to beat an enemy that is far stronger and far smarter than me. My job is to, in his strength and in his armor, hold the ground, hold my ground. My job is to stand there and not give him any room in my life. And when I understand that and when I get that, guess what? I am able to move forward. I am able then to take the ground that Jesus gives me. But until then, my job is to stand in his strength, in his armor. And so quickly, we're going to hop over to the armor. We're going to spend a little time there. One of the other things I want you to notice about the devil and his army is the Bible talks about, we see that word schemes. We see the word schemes, and the word schemes means to have a plan or to have a strategy. And in that, here's what that means, and here's what that looks like, that Satan knows our weaknesses. He knows our strengths. He knows when and where to attack us. He knows when we're most vulnerable. And so to understand and to grasp that, to understand that he doesn't have a rule book where things are off limits. He doesn't have a rule book that says, man, I've had a hard week and I'm struggling with my kids and I'm struggling with my wife and man, I just need a break. That's when he's gonna come and attack us. He has a strategy and a plan for each one of us. So as we look at the armor, as I was growing up, I would always hear messages on the armor of God and I always focused on what they protected. You know, it protected the head and it protected the heart and it protected the feet. And there was all this focus on this, but as I was working on this message, I started on focusing on the things that it represents. And so when we start with the belt of truth, everything is held together by truth. Everything is held together by the truth of God. And we have to understand that truth is not about our opinions. Truth is not about our feelings or our perspective. Truth by its very nature is exclusive. And here's what that means. It means that there is a right and there is a wrong. So it is not about your truth or my truth, but it is about the truth, and the truth is God's word. And here's why the belt of truth is so important. Because in John, it tells us this, it says that Satan is the father of lies. And if you go all the way back to the Old Testament in Genesis, what was the first thing he did with Adam and Eve? He started throwing out lies to get them to question God and his word. So if we know the truth, we can recognize his lies. But here's the thing, Satan just doesn't throw out crazy lies to us. What he does is he takes the truth and he twists it just a little bit. He takes the truth to where when we hear it, we go, wait a minute, is that God's word? It sounds very much like something that would be in the Bible. And he attacks us that way. And so it's so important that we know the truth so we can defend that. Here's a great example. I can't tell you how many times I've heard within these church walls, God wants me to follow my heart. God wants me to follow my heart. And there's a lot of times where we hear that and we go, no, that sounds right. But when you know the truth, and you know in Jeremiah that it says that the heart is evil, the heart is wicked, then all of a sudden we step back and we realize that God doesn't want us to follow our heart. He wants us to follow his son, Jesus. He wants to follow his perfect son. And so knowing the truth is so important, because now all of a sudden we're able to see when he's lying. We're able to see when weigh it against God's word and understand what truth is and what lies are. So we start with the belt of truth. The next is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is defined as the act of doing what is in agreement with God's standards. Let me say that again. Righteousness is defined as the act of doing what is in agreement with God's standards. So when I live my life in agreement with what God's standards are, guess what? I don't put myself in bad situations. I don't put myself in situations where I'm vulnerable to his attacks. And so with that breastplate of righteousness, when we're living in such a way that is in agreement with God's standards, all of a sudden we're not as vulnerable as we normally are. I one of my hearts, one of the things I love is discipling students. And years ago, I had a group of guys that we would meet in the mornings. And I'll never forget, we were closing up our discipleship group time. And I looked at him and I go, hey, how can I pray for you? And this young man goes, Shane, pray for my decisions. I was like, great, I'll do it. And I started to move on to the guy next to him. And I go, hey, man, how? And he goes, wait a minute. Pray for my decision before the decision. And I sat there for a moment, and I went, that's genius. That's genius, because here's why. His first prayer request was this. Hey, Shane, I'm going to a party this weekend, and I know things at that party I shouldn't be involved with. Pray I decide not to do those things. Okay? His second prayer request is this. Shane, I know I shouldn't go to that party and even be tempted by those things. Pray that I make the decision not to go to that party. Do you understand how big that is? Do you understand that if we start praying and thinking about the decision before the decision, how much pain and hurt we will avoid? How many times have we looked up and gone, God, it just happened? When in our reality, it didn't just happen. There was about 3 or 4 decisions that put us to that place. So this morning, if we put on the breastplate of righteousness and we're living in such a way that is in agreement with God's standards, then all of a sudden we're avoiding all this hurt. We're avoiding all this pain. We're avoiding the attacks because we're not even around them. The decision before the decision. And so when we live our lives righteously, it defends us and helps us to avoid just setting ourselves up for failure. The next is the feet covered with the gospel of peace. The feet covered with the gospel of peace. This is one of those pieces of armor that it's easy to overlook. It's easy to, as you're reading it, it's easy to blow through it because, all right, peace, I get it. But here's what that means. When our feet are covered with the gospel of peace, guess what? We're not running to the things of this world. When our feet are covered with the gospel of peace, we don't run to things that can never satisfy us. Fear and worry can't cripple us when our feet are covered with the gospel of peace. You understand that there's this contentment there when we have this peace of God, when our feet are covered with that. Guess what? Now, and all of a sudden, when somebody gets something or someone posts something on social media, we're not going, I wish I had that. We're not looking at the things that we don't have and worrying about it and being frustrated. When we have peace, our feet are grounded. And we're not moving anywhere. And so as much as I was, when I was younger, I would go, okay, the gospel of peace, that's great. The older I get, the more I understand how important it is to have our feet covered in that peace. So I'm not looking around at the things that the world has to offer, but I'm content in what God has given me and how he has provided for me. When our feet are covered in the gospel of peace, we can stand firm. The next thing is the shield of faith. The next piece of armor is the shield of faith. And the shield of faith comes into play because when we have our shield of faith, we're able to recognize what those flaming arrows that are being shot at us by the devil are. And here's what they are. They're deception or they're distraction. They're deception or distraction. And so his goal, his desire is to deceive us. It's to trick us. It's to have us live what we think is a life that God's called us to when it's truly not. And so he wants to trick us all the time. But if he can, if you have the belt of truth on and you are able to recognize his lies, then here's the next thing he's going to do. He's going to try to distract you. And he's going to use good things in your life. He's going to use things that you're able to justify. Here's what that looks like for pastors. Many times, and I've seen many pastors, including myself, fall for this, that we will trade the work of the church for our family. We will exchange our family for the work of the church, and we will say, listen, I'm doing something good and I'm serving God, and so our wives will suffer and our kids will suffer because we're not the husband we're supposed to be, or we're not the father we're supposed to be, because we can justify it, because we can go, hey, I'm doing work for God. You see, Satan knows very easily, if he can't deceive us, he's going to distract us. I heard this statement many, many years ago. Says, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll try to make you busy. The devil can't make you bad, he'll try to make you busy. And so we equate busyness as being successful and being good and doing things for God. But when we truly step back and look and see that it's just another lie, it's just another trick that he's trying to use to pull us away from God and his plan for our life. And so the shield of faith, as we hold that up and we lean into God and we lean into his promises, and that shield will put those flames out. Now I learned this as I was studying, but the shield that he is talking about is not like the round shield that Captain America uses. The shield he's talking about is a 4-foot by 2-foot shield. And so if just for a second, if you'll imagine 4-foot by 2-foot. I don't know if Jewish people were just small back then, but I know this. I'm not being protected a whole lot by a 4-foot by 2-foot shield. There's a lot of me that is exposed, all right? But as I started learning, as I started researching, as I started looking, here's what that shield is for. That shield is not for me to stand alone on a field of battle, but that shield is for brothers and sisters in Christ to come next to me and hold their shield next to me. And that way, now we create this wall. And it's not just me being out there exposed and taking shots from the devil, but it's brothers and sisters in Christ coming alongside me. It's people in my life group. Guys like Daniel Plourd that comes next to me, and Frank Omiel who comes on the other side of me, and Adam French who comes behind me, and they're holding their shields, and we're protecting each other. We're standing there with the shield of faith, and we're extinguishing these flaming arrows. But we're doing it in such a way that we're watching out for each other. When I was learning about this as a kid, I would always hear people say that you know that the backside of a soldier is not protected with the armor of God. And I've heard pastors go, and the reason is because we're never supposed to turn and run. And I thought, man, that sounds great. And then a buddy of mine was doing a message on this, and he says, that sounds good, but what about when the Bible says flee from youthful lust? What about in the Old Testament where literally people were running out of rooms to avoid temptation? And so I started thinking about this, and I started processing this. And then my youngest son, Crew, came up to me, and he said, Dad, do you know why there's no protection on the backside? And I go, yes, son, I'm a pastor, I know. And he looked at me and he goes, Dad, it's because our brothers and sisters in Christ are supposed to protect us. And I just went, oh. I was like, or there's that. But here's what I want us to understand today. When we hold that shield of faith, we're holding it up, but we're holding it up not just for ourselves, but to help protect and take care of other people, to guard them from those flames and to protect them from those flames. That's why getting connected and plugged into a life group or a D group is so essential. So many people, they come to church and they come for 1 hour and they leave and they've got no connection. But here's what else that means. It means they've got no one else watching their back. They've got no one else watching their blind spots. And I think that's so important. The next piece of armor is the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Now, when we first came and moved here, and before we moved here, we interviewed here, one of the first families we met were the Hamiltons. And I don't know if anybody here knows the Hamiltons. I love the Hamiltons. They are a great family. And their boys were in my discipleship group. And as God would have it, we moved next door to the Hamiltons. And the Hamiltons quickly became my kids' Tennessee grandparents. And so they would come home from school and they would run straight over to the Hamiltons because Miss Jamie would give them snacks that I didn't let them have, all right? And then there were a lot of times where Miss Jamie would just say, hey, you don't have to go to school tomorrow, you're tired. And I'd go, wait a minute, Miss Jamie. And so we love the Hamiltons. And here's one of the things I love about the Hamiltons is Miss Jamie, you never have to worry about what Miss Jamie's thinking, all right? Miss Jamie will let you know. And she may not always tell you what you want to hear, but she will tell you what you need to hear. And I love people like that. I love people like that in my life who will just go, hey, man, you need to know this and you need to hear this. But the thing I love about Mr. Hamilton, Mr. Allen, is this. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had where he has talked about heaven or he has talked about eternity. You see, every time I would be in this conversation with Mr. Allen, somehow he would bring up heaven or he would bring up eternity. And that was awesome because for me, that was this reminder that this earth is not my home. This place is not my home. And so I don't have to worry about things in this life and in things in this world that can take away my salvation, that can remove me from that. Matter of fact, in John, it tells us this. It says that nothing can take us out of his hands. And when we have that helmet of salvation on, when we understand that our eternity is secure and that nothing can take us out of our hands, we're able to live differently. We're able to see the attacks of the devil and we're able to go, no, that's a lie. That's not true. We're able to lean into the promises of God when we understand that our salvation is secure, that if we give our lives to Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, that nothing can remove that. Not my sin, not anything Satan does. And so that helmet of salvation, so when you are around people like that and when you put that helmet of salvation on, you start thinking about heaven, you start thinking about eternity, all of a sudden you realize we can endure the things of this world because we're promised an amazing eternity with him. And so that helmet of salvation is something that guards us. The next piece is the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit, let me start by saying this. The sword of the Spirit is not supposed to be used against other people. Let me say that again. The sword of the Spirit is not supposed to be used against other people. And here's what I mean by that. When I was in high school, if there was a girl in my school who just talked a little too much or annoyed me a little too much, I would look at her and I would go, do you know in the book of Proverbs, it says that it's better to live on the corner of a roof by yourself than with a nagging woman, all right? I'm not proud of it. Which, side note, men never quote that to your wives. All right, that it will not go well. Another verse that was quoted a lot to myself and my brothers and sisters, and I'll be honest with you, my children hear it quoted often, is also in Proverbs, and it says this, even a fool is considered wise when he keeps his mouth shut. And so my dad would say that a lot to me. And I would hear that verse a lot. But here, also, husbands, never quote that to your wives either, all right? But here's what I want you to understand. When we read that passage, when we see what it says in verse 12, it says this. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. There's a lot of times we take it personal and we think that our battle's against other people here on earth. It's not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in heaven. So this morning, just for a moment, if you're here in this room and somebody has used God's word to shame you, if somebody has used God's word to guilt you, I need you to know that that's not what it is for. I need you to know that The sword of the Spirit, God's word, its design and the offensive power of this spiritual battle is this. It is to kill and destroy sin and evil desires in my life. And so we don't take the sword of the Spirit and use it against other people. It's a spiritual weapon that we use to kill and destroy sin and evil desires in our lives. Now, most people will tell you, if they've heard a sermon on this topic, that they will tell you that the sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon we have. I'm going to disagree with them. I'm going to disagree with them because here's why. When we look at verse 18, right after it talks about the sword of the Spirit, it says this: pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. I believe that praying in the Spirit is another spiritual weapon that we have, another tool that we have to use to stand against the devil and his schemes. I believe, and listen to me, I'm not talking about let's bless our meal prayers, all right? I'm not talking about God help me win this game prayers. I'm talking about prayers in which move and impact the kingdom of God. I'm talking about prayers of thanksgiving and gratitude for his grace and his mercy that he gives us daily. I'm talking about prayers for salvation and miracles and healing that we cry out to God for, being led by the Spirit. I'm talking about prayers of asking for wisdom and guidance and protection. And so when we understand that it is the sword of the Spirit and praying in the Spirit, matter of fact, last week, Bro T brought a message on prayer, and he talked about that the devil and his army fear those people who pray in the Spirit. And so when we understand that that's another weapon that we have to use, we're able to step into and we are able to continue to stand in his strength and his power. Now, I just threw a lot of information at you. I just gave you a lot of stuff to think about and to process and to wrestle with. And so you go, all right, Shane, where do I start? How do I even grab onto this strength? How do I start in wearing this armor? First of all, we have to understand this. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are a disciple of Jesus, then that strength is already in you. The Holy Spirit lives within us, and we're able to call on that strength. We're able to call on his vast strength at any moment. But here's the key. We have to let go and quit using our own strength. We have to let go and understand that we can't keep fighting spiritual battles in earthly strength. And so when we do that, when we are able to go, God, I need this strength, and I let go so that I can stand and not give the devil any place in my life. Now all of a sudden, we're able to call on that strength. Shane, where do I start with the armor of God? There's so many pieces and there's so many things. Start with truth. Start by digging into God's word and learning his truth and knowing what truth is and learning how to defend ourselves. Start with truth. Because when we know truth, watch this, then we're able to live righteously. When we know truth, we have a peace because we understand that God is there for us and God is there with us. When we have truth, our faith grows. When we have truth, our desire for salvation, our desire for eternity in heaven grows stronger. When we know truth, we're able to use the sword of the Spirit correctly. And when we know truth, we can pray in the Spirit. So start there. Start with truth. This morning, I want to close here with this. There are many of us in this room who we have been fighting a battle, a spiritual battle in our earthly strength, and we're tired. We're tired because we keep getting beat. We're tired because we keep giving in to that same sin over and over and over again. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray for you. If that's you in this room this morning, if that's you and you'd say, Shane, I'm tired. I've been fighting and I keep losing. I've been fighting and I cannot hold my ground. I just want to pray for you this morning. So if that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want you to raise your hand. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to have you stand. And thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Yes. I see those hands all over. Yeah. Up in the balcony. Yes, I see it. Thank you. This morning, I just want to pray for you. I want to lift you up this morning. Father God, Your word says that you're a shelter. Lord, my prayers for those that just raised their hand, Lord God, be their shelter. Be a place where they can come in and they can rest and they can get renewed. Father, my desire for them is today that they stand in your strength and in your armor. Father, we love you. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen.